People who are grateful people are people who are by very nature givers, because when you are grateful, you are giving thanks.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called More Blessed. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Okay, you ready for some good news? It is more blessed to give than receive. And that doesn't mean just that if you give your life in some way, that later on there'll be a blessing that will come, although that very well may be true. It means something much deeper and richer than that. It means, I believe, that God has so designed His world and so designed you that in the releasing of your life, in the giving of your life, that in the giving, you find blessing. That the blessing is in the giving. And I want to show that to you this morning. We turn in our new series, More Blessed. It is Acts chapter 20. Pick up reading at verse 32, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he quotes what probably was a regular refrain on Jesus' lips. Even though we don't see this statement in the Gospels themselves, we see that here in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, Paul writes, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. He's just describing his own lifestyle of giving, releasing, and serving. Verse 35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever received something and then found its joy to be very fleeting? I think one of the members of this is when I was a kid and I got a new football for Christmas. I remember that football. I was just a little boy, and I remember the smell of the leather, that little peewee football, and I just couldn't wait. I can't remember if it was Christmas Day or the next day that we went across the street to Bob Phillips' house, got a little game of pickup football. Of course, I was the quarterback. My friend Danny, he was usually the wide receiver. I always liked to pretend that back in those days, it was the Rams that I loved, and they had a quarterback named Roman Gabriel, and he had a receiver named Jack Snow, and I was Roman Gabriel, and Danny Tehan was Jack Snow, and we're out there, and we caught a couple of touchdown passes, and we're playing at that, and I was telling everybody, be careful with my football. I don't want it to go out in the street and get scratched up. And then a pass was thrown, and the receiver bobbled it, and the ball went out, and it fell right into the street. And I thought, oh no, it's going to get scratched up. But instead, a much worse fate. A car was coming at that very moment. It ran over the ball so perfectly that it just went pop. I mean, it was like a firecracker had gone off. It actually exploded and was lying there limp in the road. That football did not last 24 hours. It was amazing. I was sky high. I've got the best football in the neighborhood. It's brand new. The leather is fresh, and I'm out here throwing it. And in the next moment, it's gone. How quickly happiness can turn to sorrow. Have you ever noticed the things that you get in your life, they could be fleeting. And so the joy accompanying it can be fleeting. The blessing that is accompanying it can be fleeting. But whatever you give, nobody can take that from you. And today, I want to just show you, just going deeper in this one phrase. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Just to show you in this one phrase that that Jesus has spoken here something that is so deep and so rich that it is, in many ways, the giant secret of the Christian life. You know, some sermons, I'll go through a long text, we'll go through it line by line. Sometimes we'll take section by section. Sometimes we'll go through a story and see how it points to Jesus. But today, a little bit different sermon. I just want to want to think with you about this one phrase. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There are two kinds of people in the world. You know, you always hear these jokes about the two types of people. I don't know why. Sometimes I'm preparing a sermon, I'll just wander over and just start. I spent an hour reading humor about the two types of people. There are two types of people, those who walk into a room and say, "There you are," and those that walk in and say, "Here I am." I personally think there are two kinds of people, those that cut their sandwiches horizontally and those that do it diagonally. The diagonal is much fancier and better. I always do a diagonal. There are those two kinds of people, those that are wise and those that are otherwise. there are two kinds of people, those who finish their sentences and those who... There are two kinds of people, those who can keep secrets, and I can't tell you about the rest. But there really are two types of people. I really believe this. There are two types of people. There are those that believe that it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. And there are those that have come to really believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a fundamental view that shapes everything in your life. And the conspiracy of our culture is to try to convince you of the prior, that it is more blessed to receive than to give. Everything in our culture is just screaming at this. In fact, you almost could just, if you were a Martian and you just came to Earth and you just think that what everybody was living by, what principle, you'd say they're probably living by the so you can get principle. You know what that is? That's where you get a good education so you could get a good job, so you could get a good income, so you could get a good portfolio, so you can get a good retirement, so you can get something to pass on to your kids, so they can get a good education, so you can get a good job, so you can get. And honestly, if you look around the world, that's kind of what people live by. It's a mentality that is built upon what I would just have to say fundamentally is a lie from the pit of hell. It says that that's what life is all about. You know, what's astounding to me is that there are so many arenas of life we would never, ever let ourselves just live foundationally according to a lie. And you know, some of the most important things of life, like this very principle about the real pathway to blessedness, will sometimes just, without even thinking, just build our life on something the culture has just breathed into us. I mean, can you imagine some things if you just built your life on a lie? What if instead of believing that 2 + 2 = 4, you just believe 2 + 2 = 5? Imagine we did that. I mean, I don't know why I was thinking about that beautiful movie, Hidden Figures, and the mathematicians and these ladies that became calculators, and they didn't have all the machines and everything, so they had all the trajectories for Project Mercury on paper and some of the most complicated math. It was really fascinating to watch. But I was just thinking, wonder if they had thought that 2 + 2 = 5, though, and everything else was built on that. You know what happened with that? You're crashing somewhere, or you're out in Pluto. I mean, you're just... In other words, if you're building on an error, then the longer you go with that error, the further you get away from where you're really supposed to be. You imagine if you thought that north was south and south was north, and somebody said, "Well, I'm going to go to Canada," and you just started driving south from North Carolina, you're not going to get there. Somebody said, "I'm going to go down to sunny Florida," and you start heading north, you're not going to get there, especially this week. It's not going to be there. In other words, if you build your life on something that's foundationally wrong, if you build it on a deception, then the longer you do that, the further away you get from where you really need to be. And so we wonder why people aren't very happy. And people aren't very happy. You know, there's a growing body of literature on the scientific study of happiness. A lot of surveys have been done in recent years. And what they found is that most Americans don't report being very happy. 31% in 2016 and 33% in 2017. So we ticked upward 2% more. We've now got a third of people that say they're basically happy. And I'm not trying to suggest here at all to say that the goal of life is to be happy or to trivialize the idea, but let's just start with this. Before we even talk about what we mean by blessedness, let's just talk about this about happiness, because the fact of the matter is that I think there's just huge masses of people that think that the way to happiness is the so you can get syndrome. And it's just not true, is it?
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
There was a famously written about a gathering of successful men in the first part of the 20th century. In 1923, at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, Illinois, 8 of the most powerful money magnates in the world gathered for a meeting. These 8 people, if they had combined all their resources and assets, controlled more money at that time than the U.S. Treasury. In the group were people like Charles Schwab, he was the president of the steel company, Richard Whitney, president of the New York Stock Exchange, Arthur Cutten, a wheat speculator, Albert Fall, presidential cabinet member, wealthy man, Jesse Livermore, greatest bear on Wall Street, Leon Fraser, president of International Bank of Settlements, Ivan Kruger, head of the world's largest, the nation's largest monopoly. It was an unbelievable, impressive group of people gathered at this one hotel, this one time. But if you look later in their life, you'd be just shocked. Charles Schwab died penniless. Richard Whitney spent the rest of his life serving a sentence at Sing Sing Prison. Arthur Cutten became insolvent. Albert Fall was pardoned from a federal prison so he could die at home. Leon Fraser committed suicide. Jesse Livermore committed suicide. And Ivan Kruger committed suicide. You know, they lived through depression. They lived through different times in their lives. Wound up in despair or hardship and destructive lifestyles. I'm just saying, if in a small way, if your happiness depends on the new football that you got and then a car runs over it, you got no happiness. We'll carry that to a much bigger extreme. You might think that people who'd had a windfall of sudden good luck would be really happy. It's very interesting. You've probably heard about some of the studies about lottery winners. In 1978, a trio of researchers, Northwestern University and the University of Massachusetts, interviewed recent winners of the Illinois State Lottery. But they also, in the same study, interviewed recent victims, accident victims, who had been rendered quadriplegic or paraplegic. I mean, you can't get any further distance than that, can you? People that just had a windfall win of the lottery, and those who just got confined to a wheelchair the rest of their lives. And they interviewed both of them. You know, it was just unbelievable, the results of this just basically showed that the people who'd won the lottery, while they had a slight margin of reporting greater happiness at that present moment, that when they surveyed their whole life and asked them about the amount of pleasure that they got from simple things like chatting with a friend or just enjoying a joke or receiving a compliment and all those things, they found that the paraplegics and the quadriplegics were happier than those that had won the lottery. There are famous stories like Jack Whitaker, a West Virginia man, won a $315 million Powerball jackpot in 2002. And it was going well. He established a foundation, including about $14 million of his own to start it. But then later, it just all went downhill. Over $500,000 in cash and cashier's check was stolen from his car while he was parked outside a strip club. Then his office and his home were broken into. He was arrested twice for drunk driving. His granddaughter died under suspicious circumstances. And by 2007, 5 years later, he had spent almost all of his money. And he told reporters, quote, "I wish I'd torn that ticket up." Listen, don't misunderstand me. I believe that financial blessings and the stuff that we can get, all of this can be a wonderful gift from the Lord. But when I'm just making this point, and I'm just starting here before we even really talk about what we mean by blessedness, I'm just starting here to say even secular science has shown that it does not make you happy. Getting does not make you happy. Some years ago, a British newspaper had a contest to see who could best answer the question, who are the happiest people on earth? I loved some of the answers. Here's some of the top ones. A craftsman or artist whistling over a job well done. A little child building sandcastles. A mother bathing her baby. A doctor who has finished a difficult operation and saved a human life. Who are the happiest people on earth? They're the people that are giving themselves to something or to someone. Just showing kindness leads to happy. One study has proven that if somebody received a monetary windfall, those who spent it on someone else felt significantly happier than those who spent it on themselves. And in his book, Flourish, University of Pennsylvania professor Martin Seligman explained how much helping others improves our own lives. And finally, he just made this very bold statement for a scientist. He said, we scientists have found that doing a kindness produces the single most reliable momentary increase in well-being of any exercise we have tested. People who are grateful people are people who are by very nature givers, because when you are grateful, you are giving thanks. And researcher Brené Brown, the secular research doctor out of Houston, who has done so much beautiful and profound work on shame and empathy, has also done much research about gratitude. And she said, I made a commitment to never talk about joy for the rest of my career without talking about gratitude, because in 12 years of research, I've never interviewed a single person with the capacity to really experience joy who does not also actively practice gratitude. I'm just trying to establish with you that the so you can get does not lead to happiness, but the life that is built on Jesus' principle of giving is the avenue, in the most basic sense, of happiness in this world. Now let's just go deeper with it. Because blessedness that Jesus is describing, blessed are those that give, more blessed you are when you give. This idea of blessedness is something that's much deeper and more rich than any notion of happiness in the secular world. Blessedness is a profound biblical concept. It's our word. I'm kind of dismayed that it feels like the world's trying to take over this word also. We can't lose blessedness. I mean, culture's taken too many of our words away from us, right? But we can't lose this one. I mean, this is our word, blessed, right? But now we've got everything's hashtag blessed. Are you kidding me? You see some celebrity, you know, and there's some slinky dress at some exclusive party wearing a lot of jewelry, and just like, then hashtag blessed. Just trivializing the thing. It's become for, in social media, it's kind of become the way that you can, you know, just brag, and it's supposed to be not bragging if you just end it with hashtag blessed. You know, it's kind of like in the South, if you just say, you know, bless his heart, then you can just gossip as much as you want after that, you know. You know, we're praying for so-and-so, bless his heart. You know that, you know, blah, 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 you know, you just say. Well, now the new thing is like, you know, say, you know, just so glad to report that, you know, I made straight A's and was voted most popular kid in school. Hashtag blessed. One comedian making fun of all this tweeted, caught a piece of bacon falling out of my sandwich right before it hit the ground. Hashtag blessed. We cannot lose this word. This is our word. Blessed. Okay. Adam and Eve were blessed by God, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Abraham was called up out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and God promised him that he would be blessed so that he could be a blessing. The whole people of God would be blessed so that they could be a blessing. It is the profound and deep, unmerited favor of God. The idea of being blessed is so much richer and deeper than the idea of being happy, because blessedness, by its very definition, means that someone is doing the blessing. That it is not something that you could brag about or that you could have earned, but it is a condition. It is a state in which you find yourself because of the sovereign hand of God that has moved on your behalf. According to Kittle's Dictionary of the New Testament, Old Testament view of blessedness means fullness of life, and it's often related to virtue and wisdom. And when you come to the New Testament, it refers overwhelmingly, this is still Kittle's famous dictionary in New Testament, overwhelmingly to the joy which accrues to man from his share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. The word for blessed in both the Old Testament and New Testament is almost referring to a person, rarely a thing, almost never a thing. Even if it is a thing, it's more like, blessed are your eyes, for you can see. It's what Mary says after realizing that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. From now on, the whole world will call me blessed. You get a sense on early in Jesus' ministry that he's just taking the notion of blessedness and he's going to turn it upside down in some shocking ways, because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they'll be comforted. There's some of the ways that you would think that is not the model for happiness, because it doesn't fit the so you can get syndrome. And Jesus then just inverts it all. And he says, I'm going to tell you what real blessing is. I'm going to tell you about a different avenue to blessing. And I'm going to tell you about what this really means. You can be blessed even when others are reviling and persecuting you and uttering all kinds of evil against you, because great is your reward in heaven. It changes everything in your life when you see this. Your blessedness is related to belief. When Simon Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord. You remember what Jesus said to him? Said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You're blessed when you get a revelation. You're blessed when you have faith. Blessedness is related to faith in future security, confidence in the goodness of God and your ultimate destiny. Blessed is the man whose sin is not counted against him, Paul says in Romans chapter 4. It's prevalent in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those that have the right to the tree of life. See, happiness is a good feeling, perhaps contentment, a pleasant sentiment, enjoying life, but blessedness is much deeper.
Alan Wright, you're listening to today's message in a new series, More Blessed. It is more blessed to give than get. Stick with us. Pastor Alan is back in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for the day in just a moment.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back here in the studio with Pastor Alan and our parting good news thought for the day as we begin this new series, More Blessed.
The happiest people on the face of the earth, Daniel, are people that are giving. It doesn't matter if you think about every category of person and every type of activity. What is it that really gives us a sense of blessedness? It's not the things we acquire. It's what we're able to give. As we saw, a craftsman or artist whistling over a job well done, giving him or herself to the job, a child building a sandcastle, a mother bathing a baby, people that are giving themselves to something. And this is the giant secret of the Christian life. It is something more than mere happiness. It is a state of blessedness. And giving is the avenue. This isn't just about, giving our finances is as important as that is. This is about how you view life in general. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.